Can you hear me okay? You can give me a thumbs up or something if you can hear me. All right, thank you. All right, Dreamcatcher, I've invited you to speak. All right, we're just gonna wait for a few more people since we have to put out the new link. So it looks like our the first space locked up, and I guess that's been an ongoing issue depending on what device you use. So I might be leaning towards having these on Discord in the future. We'll see. How are you doing today, Dreamcatcher?
Great, can you hear me now?
All right, Mitchell, welcome. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. A lot of technical stuff. Thanks, everybody, for bearing with us.
All right, I think we'll go ahead and get started. Yeah, apologize for the technical difficulties. We'll get this sorted out with spaces. This just happens every once in a while. But thank you, everyone, for joining today. It's November 1st. This will be our first in a series of weekly community calls. Probably do some giveaways here and there just to kind of keep the community excited and kind of show appreciation to those who've been with us for the past year. Pretty excited to give you an update on what's going on with LS Network. For those who are tuning in for the first time, LS Network is a next generation perpetual trading platform that also contains an entire suite of DeFi applications on our layer one blockchain. So that includes not just standard decentralized exchange functions like an automated market maker, fixed weight functionality like, you know, the typical pools that you're used to seeing, but you're also going to have an Oracle based hybrid design that includes dynamic weighted pools as well as multi-asset ETF style index pools. And then we'll also have some conservative strategies like USDC lending and deposits, as well as aggressive strategies to include that perpetual trading, as well as leverage LP, and then more functionality to come in the future. We're looking at mainnet launch maybe in the next 2 to 3 months, depending on how well our testing goes and development with our web app as that rolls out. So we'll be inviting everybody in our community to sign up for the web app wait list, as well as participate in our Discord discussions and community outreach as we get the test net fully finalized and then the testing completed and then prepare for mainnet launch. So pretty exciting, kind of basically about 80% there. So this is kind of the time where things get really, really critical in terms of feedback from our users and having, you know, that ability to get it across the finish line, especially with our web app testing once that rolls out. So again, pretty excited to showcase that to you here in the near future. With that said, I'll pass it over to co-founder Mitchell to kind of give us some updates from his end as well.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us today. I just want to say there's been a lot going on. I know it seems to be really quiet. There's just a lot of people we're, you know, talking to in the space, you know, some within the cosmos and some outside, trying to unite everybody as one. I know it does. Sometimes there's like some division here and there, but we don't really see that. So we are communicating with multiple projects, looking at several integrations here, you know, in the upcoming future. And we definitely looking forward to mainnet launch. It is getting very exciting. We have a lot of interest and the vibe is really good. So thank you for that. And we just really appreciate you.
All right. Thank you, Mitchell. We also have co-founder Dreamcatcher on the call. I've invited him to speak. Let's hope that I think he probably got booted off last time. So let's see if we can get him back on. And we have multiple validators as well on this call today. So if any of you want to step up to the mic and speak, let us know. You know, kind of, we always love to have our validators chime in and kind of provide some input and feedback on things that they've seen. One of the things I'm pretty excited about with our validator set is they're incredibly active. So we have validators providing a wide range of services for us, from community outreach to back-end testing to IBC relay. And then, you know, even writing up our validator guides. We have High Stakes, who's on today, who helped design some of our validator guides, as well as some of our monitoring, validator monitoring tools. What we try to do from the validator support side, which I think makes us very community focused and kind of unique as a blockchain, is we really spend a lot of time trying to make it easier for our validators to participate. So what we've done there is, if you look at our GitHub on our on one of our many repositories, you're going to see that we have not just setup guides, but we have things like CosmoVisor specific setup guides for our validators who are using that for the first time. We have two different monitoring tools so that validators can very easily kind of step away from their machines, but get alerted if something goes wrong with their validator. And then we also have a Discord alerting tool for validators who want to receive like a Discord notification if their validator starts missing blocks. So all of that was set up by our validator community. So we're very excited about the participation and the enthusiasm that they've had for LS Network. We're a bottom-up project. We've grown together as a community. We've had countless volunteer hours from hundreds of people coming together to get us to where we are today. So super excited, super grateful for that level of participation. We wouldn't be here at all without those validators putting it together from the infrastructure side. So while our testnet is not necessarily advertised as incentivized, obviously for the validators who have participated with us providing these services, we'll be giving them strong consideration for delegations at our mainnet launch. And that's going to be, again, probably 2 to 3 months away. Also, for those who are just joining the call now, don't forget to drop a question in our AMA questions channel in on our Discord, and we'll try to get those answered. So let's see if we got Dreamcatcher. We do not have Dreamcatcher up as a speaker yet. Let's see. Let me try to invite him one more time. Okay, it may not be working. Anybody else interested in speaking today? This is a community call, so anybody who wants to speak up, ask a question here. The floor will be yours. Just raise your hand and I'll get you on the speaker list. If you prefer not to speak, you can ask a message in the Discord channel. And let's see what else we have for you here. So just to give you another update, currently in version 12.0.12 of our blockchain code, our binary. We'll be going to version 0.13 here in the next week or two. And in that upgrade, we are also planning to reduce our block time to 3 seconds. So eventually the goal will get to be to get to an ultra fast block time, potentially even under 1 second if we can get there. Obviously the process requires some infrastructure evaluation, analyzation, and then, you know, some, we're going to get there gradually because we don't want to necessarily make a huge jump to that ultra fast block time. We want to evaluate some things as we go along. And this is kind of a necessary move because we are using an Oracle. And of course our Oracle design is very unique because of our the fact that we aggregate multiple Oracles for the, not just for the accuracy of pricing, but also just to add a layer of security and safety for the users on the DEX. So that one Oracle going down or one Oracle getting mispriced doesn't have a detrimental effect on the users. So we're pretty excited about our unique Oracle design. That's something that makes us different. As far as partnerships, we've been aggressively pursuing multiple partners within the Cosmos ecosystem. We met with Noble this week. Obviously, Noble has a huge strategic importance with LS Network because we are using USDC as our pool pairs. So pretty excited to see the rollout of USDC by all means a success in the past month and a half or so with Circle. We're already seeing over 9 million in USDC coming onto the Cosmos network ecosystem, which is absolutely fantastic. That number is only going to grow and grow. So this is a great opportunity for us as we approach our mainnet launch to get that as TVL on our exchange. So we can already see that the, you know, the total addressable market as far as they're getting exposure to that USDC TVL could be potentially in the many, many billions over the next few years. So laying the foundation right now, getting the infrastructure built, having that in place is a necessary step in order for us to have our exchange going. So we're very excited about what's going on with Noble. Our meeting with them was pretty productive. One of the things that we're looking forward to with Noble as they continue to build their network out is CCTP, Cross-Chain Transfer Protocol. Essentially, that's a system that we believe can be more efficient for a user who's trying to move their funds from another chain. So let's just use Ethereum as an example. If they're trying to move USDC from Ethereum over to Cosmos, they can do so via the CCTP, which allows them to move the funds via a burn and mint system rather than using a bridge like Axelar or Wormhole or one of these other bridges that exist. So the functionality there is really, really fantastic in terms of protecting the user, because instead of having to use a pegged asset to get their assets across the bridge, instead they're actually turning in, so to speak, their USDC from that network. It's going to be burned, and then it gets reissued, reminted on the other side, on the new, on the other network that they're moving it to. So it's a much safer way of doing business, so to speak, when it comes to protecting your assets and getting your native assets in on the correct chain. So we're pretty excited about the rollout of CCTP. I think that's going to make it a whole lot easier, especially when we're trying to attract users from other chains to come over to Cosmos. I think as you know, as a community that really follows the Cosmos ecosystem and wants to see the growth of the entire ecosystem, this is an absolutely accretive step forward. So we're really excited about that. Let's see. Mitchell, how about you want to speak to a little bit about kind of the market landscape that you see right now in terms of, you know, what you've been seeing, speaking to with your partners and your contacts, kind of on the investment side?
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm surprised at who knows about us and who's looking at us. I can tell you that. That's been the topic of my morning. We're getting recognized. And like when I said, we're being received really well. You know, it is by the community, and we do appreciate that. And I think that that has like a trickle up effect, because there's just some names, and I can't go into like names and companies and stuff like that, but there's just some names and companies who I've always kind of looked up to. And you think, you know, certain things are beyond your reach. And I think we, you know, we pulled together, and the whole community building, you know, Ellis, and we're not, you know, nothing's beyond our reach right now. It just seems that there's lots of interest. I hope there's, you know, the interest translates into, you know, helping to build and support Ellis. We don't know really at this point, you know, we haven't really gotten that far, but I'm very, very excited. I'm very, very excited. Very, I don't know, surprised and in such a good way to see it. Cause, you know, when we put everything down on the sheet, it was just amazing. So that's been the topic of my morning. I will say that this is a really, really cool journey. I'm anxious to see not, you know, just where like the Cosmos goes, but like where Web3 goes, where DeFi goes in general, just because the TradFi is so broken right now. And it's just made apparent day after day after day with like the, you know, the power trips and all the control and stuff like that. So I'm anxious to see where this goes. I know like the, you know, the next several years is going to tell a lot, and I think it's going to even out the playing field quite a bit.
It's very exciting to hear. You know, I think a lot of times, you know, it's very difficult to maintain a positive mindset in a bear market, right? I mean, sentiment, you know, we'll just get down to the absolute, you know, worst. You'll have a lot of, you know, feeling that, you know, what is the purpose of even building right now? Or what is the purpose of even having, you know, a positive mindset about the build out of the, you know, the crypto industry, Web3, right? And that this is exactly the time to be focused on those things, to be focused on building, to be focused on, you know, making a use case for what we're doing. So I think that the challenge that this brings is actually just more of an opportunity. When we think about the amount of interest that we see from people who want to invest in the space, shows you that they realize that this is the way forward, that there is going to be a future that has a Web3 component in it. I think what we're starting to see is maybe the original, you know, maybe from a few years ago where people thought maybe, you know, Web3 was going to essentially take everything over. I think that view has moderated to a point where it's more about how it fits into existing structures. So how can it integrate? How can we have kind of a hybrid maybe model? How can we kind of take the best of TradFi and the best of DeFi and put it together? So I think that's really encouraging, because that's an easier bridge for people to cross. Instead of saying, oh, we're going to entirely replace TradFi with DeFi, it's now more like, well, we can take the best of both worlds and figure out how to make them work together. I think that's a really exciting prospect.
Actually, Web3 and Web2 doesn't even need to be a part of the conversation. And it's not anymore when I'm talking to, you know, my family or friends or stuff like that, because I'm not trying to pitch crypto or pitch blockchain or Web3. It's just they ask, you know, what we're up to, what we're working on. It's software. Oh, for what? Well, to do what you always do, you know, from day to day, just a different way to do it. That's an easier talk and it's appreciated, right? We're just trying to simplify, help, you know, save some money, save some time. Everybody wants to do that. It's that simple.
Absolutely. And I think one of the best things to come out of this, you know, in terms of lessons learned in the bear market is sustainability, right? There was a lot of viewpoints out there that we were going to try something new. We were going to try something very different. All these models or different, you know, strategies, and we watched them all fail by one by one, right? And a lot of times, you know, it wasn't necessarily because of poor engineering or poor, strategy or anything. It was just that people took a chance on something, and when they realized it didn't work, you know, that was the end of that, right? And that's okay. I mean, when you're talking about rolling out a new technology, there are going to be a lot of failed projects, and we've kind of talked about that in the past. But what we do like now is we're seeing the best practices and the lessons learned finally shape into the future, you know, the path forward. So one example of that, that we saw over the last couple of years was people would come to a project because of the high staking rewards, right? Or whatever incentives were being offered to join that chain. And those were bootstrapping efforts. And you know, there a lot can be said positively or negatively about why those strategies were selected. But at the end of the day, they weren't sustainable, right? So when you had a chain offering very high APRs that was luring people in, unfortunately, what that was really doing was causing the people who got in first to make the most money and then sell that off, or just sell it off and dilute it and dilute new users coming in. So we recognize that those types of strategies are very, very, very short-term, you know, strategies. They don't sustain over the long term. And if we want the cryptocurrency industry to be really taken seriously, it has to be something that's sustainable 5, 10, 15, 20 years indefinitely, right? So that's what we're building at LS Network. That's why we've designed the entire blockchain to have a max supply of 200 million tokens. That's why we've designed it to eventually be non-inflationary or eventually potentially deflationary. And we've designed it to sustain entirely on system revenue. But not just any system revenue, we've diversified the system revenue streams over at least 5 or 6 different sources, and then with potential to add more as we continue to build out the platform. So that's what we think our key differentiator is that we're doing it right from the start. If you look at some of the other chains who have had to kind of pull back from their initial high inflation strategies and then try to, adopt this strategy, this new, you know, low inflation, no inflation strategy, they're having a very difficult time because they're kind of digging themselves out of a hole. They have oversupply. They have, you know, they're dealing with heavy dilution. They're dealing with lack of funds. And so it's difficult to dig oneself out of a hole if you've already kind of gone down that path. We hope that the ones that have decided to make that switch are going to succeed, right? We want everybody in the Cosmos ecosystem to get there. Without the growth of the entire ecosystem, really a platform like ours will not reap as much benefit, right? So we need the ecosystem to grow together. So one thing we talked about as a team is actually not just, you know, being focused on our community here at LS Network. We want to be very, very focused on the advancement of the entire Cosmos ecosystem. So to give you an example, you know, the way that we've designed the platform, how we manage the system revenues is, while a large portion of that's going to go back to liquidity providers, and then a significant portion goes back to stakers, we're also going to have a protocol revenue that will pay for some of our expenses as a, you know, for our infrastructure expenses, team expenses, et cetera. But we also want to give some back to the Cosmos ecosystem so that we can help promote and sustain the growth of the Cosmos ecosystem. So that's one of the things we've been talking about with our partners. We are keenly interested in the Atom Economic Zone, the AEZ. We're keenly interested in ICS, you know, interchain security. Most likely not in its current form, where the entire validator set is on the Cosmos Hub. What we're looking for is probably a future iteration where we see a mix of Cosmos Hub validators plus our own validator set. That's where we think the sweet spot is, because we think that that's really important for some of the vision that we have for LS Network. And eventually, when we see these protocol, some of this protocol revenue go back to the AEZ, we believe that that will help in terms of, you know, getting more development on our chain, more participation on our chain, and just, you know, continuing to build partnerships and building out our vision. So pretty excited about that. Again, that's a 2 to 3 year outlook, so to speak. I know a lot of people are more concerned about what's going on in the next 2 to 3 months, you know, as we approach mainnet launch, but just kind of wanted to give you both sides of that as well. Let's see. I'll again open it up to any questions. Anybody want to raise their hand? I can select anyone to speak. Hopefully it's not going to be buggy if somebody raises their hand. I'm going to try to... Jason, I'm going to invite you to speak. I know you have some things to say.
Oh, he does.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, I don't know if the...
He always has something to say. He always says he doesn't want to offend. It's okay. Offend him.
It's a community call. Yeah, speak away, right? Go for it. So, okay. All right, let me take a look at the Discord AMA questions and see what we have here. Our first question comes from Eric. Is there a time frame to start populating the pool with capital? Okay, that's an excellent question. So our liquidity pools are going to be obviously in a huge driver of, you know, activity on our platform, right? Because it's going to be a necessary component for perpetual trading. Obviously, you got to have deep liquidity for swaps, and of course, attracting more users. So the more TVL you have on chain, the more people will feel comfortable coming and putting their assets onto the chain and joining the pools. So it's a necessary component for sure. We don't believe that it has to be bootstrapped by our own community members necessarily. So what we've been doing right now is reaching out to multiple liquidity provider partners and exploring who would be the most suitable partner for us to actually provide liquidity on the DEX. So ideally, we don't want to have necessarily just one provider, because that produces kind of a centralization risk. So ideally, we would like to have maybe multiple large partners come in and provide liquidity, provides a little bit more decentralization. And then eventually, as our users come in and start to add their funds, and that centralization starts to become more of a focus area for us. So initially, that's kind of the way the design goes. And I think that's generally how most of the projects usually source their liquidity, is through a partner. We could potentially do it also through some of our own fundraising. We could actually take some of that and make it our own liquidity pools, protocol owned liquidity. So while we would want to have our own pools, own protocol owned liquidity for our own sustained revenue back to the protocol, we don't necessarily want to raise most of our funds for that, right? So we'd rather we'd rather raise funds for the development side. Let's see what the next question is going to be here. Is there any time frame for the user interface to be released to testers, and any time frame for mainnet? Okay, so we talked about mainnet 2 to 3 months. For the user interface, last we checked, and kind of as we meet with our front end developers and our designer every day, and we're probably in the 60 to 65% range of having that web app done. It looks fantastic. We're hoping to preview some screens for you here in the short term. We'll probably maybe just display some of those for you on Discord in the near future. But we're pretty close. So we have our sign-in screens, we have our dashboard screens, we have our swap screens, we've integrated a really fantastic charting tool. We have staking screens done. So we're getting very, very close. We still need to get the margin screens done. We got to get the USDC land and earn screens done. And then a couple other ones like statistics, documentation screens, etc. So it is a painstaking process. It takes a very long time because each screen, you know, requires, you know, essentially hundreds of different iterations. So those of you who have built a front end before probably recognize, especially when you're doing it as an app, that it's very, very painstaking. So we're pretty excited to start showcasing that to you. And just a reminder, if you have not signed up for our web app waitlist, it's on ls.network. If you go to the website ls.network and you can click on sign up for the web app waitlist, it only takes about 10 or 15 seconds to get on that list. We have about 500 people signed up for that now. So we're trying to grow that to a few thousand people here in the over the next few weeks. Let's see, any other questions? Here's a good question. You mentioned pools will be paired with USDC. Is there any plan to have pools which are not paired with USDC, and will pools be permissionless? So I'll answer the last question first, which is yes, the pools will be permissionless. That's something that whether we have a certain set of permission pools right at launch or not, eventually they'll be all permissionless. Whether we're going to use something other than USDC for pairs, we have been internally talking about USDT for quite some time. I think the issue right now is taking things one step at a time with getting USDC, you know, getting the TVL up with USDC paired pools first, and then examining what would be the best fit for our next pair. So again, one of the reasons from the very beginning why we decided to go with USDC paired pools was the stability of the token, was the reputation, the credibility of the token, and to also make sure that somebody who owns an Ellis token is not constantly worried about how the price of the token is affecting the TVL on the DEX itself. So for example, if you are on another decentralized exchange that uses its own pair, its own token as the pool pair, every time that token goes up or down, let's say 5 or 10%, the TVL will swing wildly, right? Because the entire TVL of the entire exchange depends on that price of that token. So it's a really, really difficult and unsustainable strategy, in our opinion, if we were to use our own tokens. So that's why we went with a stable pair. So USDT, certainly under consideration in the future after mainnet launch. Let's see, did we get all the questions there? Oh yeah, sign-in screen. Do you mean like connect to wallet? Yes, so our sign-in screen is part of our strategy of not just catering to the advanced user, who we probably have a lot of advanced users on this call who maybe are using their ledger and connecting their wallet. They have a strong safeguarding methodology for their keys. Those advanced users, we're pretty excited, you know, to have them come and be some of our initial users. But we also want to bring the Web2 user, somebody who has maybe never dipped their toe into the crypto space and wants to kind of maybe get some exposure to DeFi. So we've made that easy by having a sign-in screen. So we use web abstraction. Specifically, we're going to be using Web3 Auth. So that means if you have a Gmail account, which I know some people probably don't feel great about a Google account, but let's say you wanted to use your Google account to sign in, you could do that. And it's a very quick process to get set up, and then you'll have a wallet and off you go. So it's not necessarily that we are trying to get people to use those wallets, or, you know, a wallet that's set up through account abstraction. It's that we think it's a great way to make an entry if it's your first exposure. So, for example, somebody wants to come in and maybe experiment with just a small amount of money. They can always use account abstraction technology to come join the DEX and you know, set up an account, and then maybe make a few swaps, maybe do some margin trading, et cetera. And then eventually, you know, they become more familiar, more comfortable. And in that process, they maybe say, hey, I don't necessarily want this account to be a Google account anymore. Maybe I'll create my own wallet. Maybe I'll purchase a ledger and I'll just transfer the funds over to that wallet now that I'm ready for it. Right. So we use it. We look at it as more of like a tool for somebody who wants to get into the crypto world, but is wanting to kind of do it in steps. So that's kind of the reason why we offer that. Again, we're a platform that offers something for everybody. That's kind of our goal here, is that we don't want to only just cater to a specific niche. So that's just adds that extra exposure for the community. All right, I see a couple more questions have rolled in. Mitchell, do you have anything to add so far on anything I've mentioned?
No, I'm just laughing here with my cousin because he actually had a pretty big gathering to show everybody how to do wallets. He's a early Bitcoin. I mean, he's a huge supporter of blockchain. I mean, for a very long time, and he's very, very into the Cosmos, huge supporter. But he had an event at his house to show, you know, close friends and family how to set up wallets, and it was a mess. He got more confused by everybody, even though he's doing it so much, and nobody really walked out with knowing exactly what to do. I think there was one person. So, and I think there was almost 20 people there, and this was last year. So yeah. So if he could have just said, you know, go check out Ellis and just use the Google to log in, it would have saved everybody time and frustration, and they would have been, you know, in the space pretty quick. So it's going to be a good thing, especially when you have family members and friends asking you during the bull how to get into DeFi. It's an easy way to just say, hey, go check out Ellis.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, I think we've all felt that frustration trying to help somebody set up a wallet, or somebody, you know, only sets up a wallet, let's say on their phone, and then they get a new phone and they go, hey, I can't log back into my MetaMask or something. And they're like, oh, well, did you save your recovery phrase? You know, they go, what? Right. So we've all heard about that, right? Like, where a lot of people have lost funds because they just didn't know how to take that step, which we're trying to help ease new members of, you know, new members coming into the DeFi world, into that world. It's very, very difficult, right? I mean, we all kind of see it as like a badge of honor or a rite of passage. But the reality is, if we want mainstream adoption, it's got to be easier for them to make that jump. So that's kind of a big part of our, again, our vision, is that we're here to cater to not just the most advanced user out there, which we're certainly going to have like that functionality in our pro version, which is what we're rolling out with at mainnet launch. We also want to have something so simple and easy to use for somebody like my mom, right, who wants to come in and maybe check it out. She'll be able to do it, and that's the goal, is to have that testing done for the platform that a user can go in and intuitively figure all this stuff out right away. Again, very exciting, because we think that's where the opportunity is having that pathway for new users to come in and quickly jump on. Let's see, do we have any? Okay, still. Oh, we have one. We have one request to speak. Let me approve Mehdi here. All right, Mehdi, welcome. Did that go through, or did we lose him?
Let me ask. Hi.
Okay. Okay, he must have. Okay, I approved him, but it looks like. Okay, well, let me take a look at the next question. Will there be other tokens in stables? Okay, so this is from Duck Squad again. For the pool pairs, we have talked about using Bitcoin or Ethereum as potential pool pairs. If the pools are permissionless, there's certainly an opportunity for somebody to create their own pair on both sides. So we'll discuss that in the design. Dreamcatcher, I wish we could get him up here, because that's something he would probably speak a lot more on, because he'll be,
Let me just
go ahead, Mitchell. Yeah,
and I know he has an idea, and I'm sure everybody has an idea of what they'd like to see. Here's the thing: we are very fluid, right? So as we start to grow the economy and build the economy and the ecosystem, we have to take it seriously. Like, you know, I don't know, there's a couple hundred countries out there, right? And they don't all get the economics right. And so right off the bat, they have to adjust and adapt, and they have to go through these long processes in Congress, and they have to do, you know, we think 2, 3, 4 days voting and governance is a long time, but man, add some bureaucracy and, like, you know, a couple months or a couple of years to get something passed. And then all of a sudden a couple of days or, you know, even a week doesn't really seem that long. So, and some things we can do just on the fly. And that's what's cool. And that's why we're all here right now, because we want to be a part of something where we have a voice, where when we raise our hand, it's seen. When it's seen, you get called on. And your voice is equal to ours, right? We're here and we're talking together. When we're listening to everybody, like, we see everybody as equals, and nothing that we say is finite, right? Because we're always going to be fully adjusting, adapting to what's best for true sustainability. So if we have an idea of what we're doing right now, but if next year the landscape changes, we have to adjust and adapt to it, agree on something that's going to work and work towards it. And that's what's going to keep us afloat, is we have to stay quick and nimble. We have to stay active. So yes, everything we say here is our plan, but our plans should shift and they should change as the landscape changes.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're certainly not going to say no to any idea out there. And if just like Mitchell's saying, if the opportunity comes to, you know, to add a new feature or add new pairs or add whatever the community wants, right, into our offering, you know, we're going to go down that path, right? Because the idea is to be an all-in-one DeFi suite. But the other thing we are very excited about is when we're a large enough platform, others will want to build maybe their own app functionality on our blockchain. So very excited about that prospect and what that can bring. I know we have Duck Squad is building a little something on the side for Ellis, which is really cool. I mean, it's not going to be necessarily on our specific platform, but he's got a little fun game that I think he's added. I tried to bring him on as a speaker, but I don't know if it's working.
But that's
and then we lost.
I want to jump in there though, because if people are building, so when they build on Ellis, that's all the more reason we have to be super, you know, aware. We have to be accountable, and we have to, I mean, this is going to be a platform that's built upon, and we need to treat it as such. And that's why it's very important to be open. It's very important to be transparent. It's super important to treat sustainability as more than just a word or a tagline on a website or something like in docs, because like real sustainability can grow, like not just surviving, but actually flourishing and growing and being sustainable. So, and it has a lot more to do than like a tokenomic stock or a white paper. It has to do with the people that lead. It has to do with the community and how much, you know, we listen. And there's just so many different moving parts. So we really need to treat this as a successful economy. We need to cherish it. And that's why, you know, certain beliefs, you know, everybody has them, but we just need to make sure that we don't make anything finite except for transparency and just always trying to do the right thing. You know, I can't like really drive that home enough. And I hope everybody sees that. And I'm sure you agree. That's probably why we're on the call, but it's really important. It's really necessary and needed in the space right now that we have the right leadership, you know, working with projects and starting projects that have, you know, that's upon like ethics, you know, morals and values, because the space being unregulated, we have to regulate ourselves. We have to. And if we're not willing to regulate ourselves and we're just, you know, looking at the bottom line or the end dollar, then it's going to fail. Absolutely. So we just need to make a safe space for everybody to come provide a product or a service and a service that's useful, that people would daily use, and will be good.
100%. You know, I think about what makes a project successful, you know, in today's environment. It's everything that's related to trust and transparency and credibility as a prerequisite, right? So all of the things that you think of when it comes to compliance and trying to do things the right way, even if the playbook or the regulations aren't exactly formed yet, we all have a pretty good idea of what paths we should be taking for compliance. And anything that kind of goes outside those lines is something we want to avoid, right? We want to be very, very focused on when somebody looks back at us and says, over the past year, the way that you've been building and everything you've been building, you know, open it up, let's take a look. You know, we don't have anything that we would be, concerned about, right? And that's why we've gone down the route of open source code since day one. It's why we have these meetings regularly. It's why we essentially pass everything that we have, you know, done right onto you. And once that web app is done, that we can actually give it to you to use, right? We'll be incorporating all the feedback. We'll be asking people to find any bugs or holes or anything in the code or anything in the front end. And so that's such an important prerequisite. Beyond those prerequisites, the next thing you got to have is the utility, the use case, the reason to exist, and how can you actually be accretive to the industry, right? So for us, we've outlined that based off of, okay, there is going to be a need. DeFi continues to grow, right? We had 7 million DeFi users last year. We're going to continue to grow, you know, a few million every year or more. It's always going to be a necessary function, even if it's not the hottest sector of the industry. You know, let's say maybe next year the hottest sectors become something like streaming or gaming or some other thing. You're still going to need DeFi because DeFi is essentially where the financial transactions occur to get your token swapped, to get your, to store your assets. If you're going to be somebody who wants to use it as a banking product, a place to store your assets and earn some yield, whether it be conservative or aggressive, all of those things are still going to be necessary, even if it's not going to be the hottest sector, right? It's still going to be a massive, massive growth area. So the reason to exist is there, but what sets us apart over the others and how can it sustain, right? So we were very, very methodical and careful in how we designed Ellis. Again, low max supply, low to no inflation with some deflation, system revenues going back to liquidity providers, stakers, protocol, back to the Cosmos ecosystem, Web 2 to Web 3, simplicity, right? Premier user experience, premier user interface. All of the things that we put into the design of Ellis Network are so important that sets us apart. And that's what we're very, very hyper focused on, because we know we've got the prerequisites met of, you know, the trust and transparency and credibility. We're going to always give that to you, but we want to give you a product you want to use, right? Because we can't tell you that you like the product. You have to tell us that you like the product. And that's really up to you guys to decide. And if we don't provide that for you, then we're not doing our jobs correctly. So that's always going to be something that I'm focused on. I know that the rest of our team thinks about that all the time, is, are we actually meeting our users' needs? Are we actually giving users what they've asked for instead of telling them what they want? And so I think that's going to be our differentiator. I think that's going to be the thing that, you know, that you guys will all be proud of when you see it. I think that we're going to continue to work for you. This is a bottom-up community. This is built by all of us together. So our success relies heavily on making sure that your voice is heard. And I mean that with all sincerity. So again, I want to thank everybody for their time. I know it's 11 o'clock and I appreciate everybody dealing with the technical difficulties in the beginning. I think we got through all the questions. Did anybody else have a question before we wrap up? Raise your hand or request to speak and I'll add you. And then I'll just run through the AMA question channel one last time. Okay, we got one request. Two. All right, Z Magic. Welcome. How are you? Okay, I guess there you go.
Yo, can anybody hear me? GM.
Yes.
Yo, GM, everybody on the space. Sorry, I've been having network issues, so I haven't been able to catch up what you guys have been talking about. Can I get a recap of what you guys have been saying on this space?
Yeah, this is a recorded space, so after the space ends, you'll be able to click on it and listen to the recording. You can also join our Discord. and ask your questions there. Join in the general channel. We also have an AMA questions channel. So for next week's community call, you can also feel free to drop a question in there and we'll get it answered.
Okay. I'll go along. Well, thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Anybody else? Let me do here real quick. Okay. There we go. Anybody else before we wrap up? Okay. In that case, I always love to end our calls with a motivational speech from Mitchell. It's my favorite part of the day. So Mitchell, will you take us away?
I should always know that you're going to ambush me here at the end. I woke up honestly not feeling too good. I had a massive headache, but I don't have my headache anymore. Ever since, I started preparing for this call and I started running over the last few weeks. And it seems that we will be partnering and integrating with some projects in the future. And I look forward to it. That's kind of what I'm the most excited about. Some projects I look up to and that I've been a fan of for a while, some within the cosmos and some not. I alluded to those earlier. So that's about it. I know it's, from the community standpoint, sometimes it just seems like nothing's happening. I just want to say that we are like breathing Ellis when we wake up. We don't sleep that much at night. We are working tirelessly. And we, we can't wait to show you what we've been working on. We're very proud of it. And like we said at the beginning, this product is going to be something that we will happily recommend to our family. And you're an extension of our family. So thank everybody for joining, and we appreciate you.
All right. Thank you, everyone. We'll announce our next community call for next week on Discord and here on Twitter for next. Again, thank you so much for your time. Have a great day, everyone.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days, got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom over impossible loss. It's all moss and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, though the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary falls. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner lace, stacked in non-toxic just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like this shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines, they call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Beats tearing apart your community, all these low hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10 stargazing after the siege, commanding all the management to grab a few seats, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, say and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Channel Spaces.